This is The Week in Review. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, June the 20th. And every Friday at this time, we invite two guests from different political viewpoints to talk with you about the biggest political news stories of the week. And we have with us today Dave Blaska. Dave is a former Dane County supervisor and currently a blogger for Isthmus. You can read all about what Dave is blogging about on Blaska's blog. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Joy.
Also with us, Ben Mansky, former co-chair of the U.S. Green Party. He is executive director of the pro-democracy group Liberty Tree and also a blogger for Isthmus. His blog, The Plansky. I like that play on words. Ben Mansky, good morning.
Morning, Joy, and morning, Dave.
And you two do sort of a right-left blog.
That well, I never knew that Ben was real. Actually, I just thought it was like some rogue laptop that was kind of just generating a random words, but... Good to see you.
That's right. Now those random words are appearing with your random words on Isthmus Daily page. Right.
There we go. Well, we will look forward to an interesting week in review program. We have lots to talk about, lots of things happening in politics this week. Let's start with today this announcement from Barack Obama.
Hi, this is Barack Obama. I have an important announcement, and I wanted all of you, the people who built this movement from the bottom up, to hear it first. We've made the decision not to participate in the public financing system for the general election. This means we'll be foregoing more than $80 million in public funds during the final months of this election.
And that announcement was met by this from John McCain.
You know, this election is about a lot of things, but it's also about trust, and it's also whether you can take people's word. Because when you campaign for the highest office in the land, you make certain commitments to the American people. And if you're not even willing to keep one that is as impactful in a political campaign as his decision to finance his own campaign and completely contradict his solemn pledge, I think should be disturbing to all Americans.
Let me start with you, Ben Mansky. Is it disappointing, disturbing to you that Barack Obama has decided to do this?
Yeah, I think there's no way you can portray this as a positive thing. I think certainly politically, I think it's going to cost him. And every time Obama and his campaign take a step away from the politics that they are promising, that they have built their campaign around of real change, I think they undermine their credibility and open the door to McCain in a year that should be a slam dunk for the Democrats. It's also very disturbing to me personally. I was encouraged by the pledge last year and by the talk of going with public financing by Barack Obama. And seeing him step away, I think, raises some really serious questions about where he's headed. Not where he's coming from, but where he's headed at this point in time. And I think, finally, we need to recognize that it is true that the public financing system is broken. And it goes much deeper than the simple problem that it's not a true public financing system. You look at Maine, mm-hmm. you look at other states that have true public financing where there's not a limit where, you know, if somebody wants to opt out, then their opponent gets to match right up to where they're spending. But that's not what we have right now. And then it does go beyond that to corporate financing of the political party conventions in Denver and Minneapolis, and also of the major political parties themselves.
What's your take on this one, Dave?
Well, a little bit of shade and fraud, I guess. You know, I'm not, if anyone's listened to me or read me, I'm not a fan at all of publicly financed or taxpayer-supported campaigns. You know, the system is broken. It's the concept is broken. You can't, unless you want to have a, you know, kind of a Hague-like tribunal and a tremendous layer of bureaucracy, you cannot have public financing. Most of that will get sucked away anyway. It's too litigious and whatnot. That said, the man made a promise, and now he's broken it. And John McCain, say what you will about him, and I disagree with so much of what he's done, and I love the guy because he's a man of his word. He's a man of honor. And I think that'll shine forth in this campaign.
Well, we hear, though, that Barack Obama's campaign made a promise to negotiate this, I thought, not necessarily to...
Well, they haven't done that either. Yeah. I mean, they had one. I think they had a cup of coffee. The lawyers met, you know, my lawyer talked to your lawyer, and, you know, and that... Look, you know, Barack Obama is the man who sees the main chance, and he sees that he can get the money. Democrats, by the way, have always been the party of money. They've never lacked for money. There's this mythology here that they got the bean feed in the Union Hall, and that's and they're selling cupcakes at the church picnic, and that's how they raise money. That's here's another point too, though. I think his name was Stuart Mott, son of one of the founders of General Motors. I think his father was like 7 years old when he was born. He just died recently himself at the age of 70. He bankrolled personally Gene McCarthy's campaign. I see nothing wrong with that, Ben. Was it a secret at the time? Not at all. Everybody knew that Stuart Mott was financing Gene McCarthy. And, that gave that man a voice, a chance to be heard, a chance to get on the airwaves. Well, nothing wrong with that.
The reality is that where public financing has actually been implemented, it's working quite well. And anybody who wants to learn more about that just needs to take a look at the state of Maine. Go to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign website here in state, wisdc.org. And, as to this idea that the Democrats have historically been the party of money, I think that's simply not true. But what is true is that Barack Obama is outraising McCain 2-1. And now that he's ahead, he seems to be abandoning his pledge. And I think that is a problem.
Well, can't you say, though, that as some have pointed out, that if he would do the public financing, he would not have enough money to counter those outside interest groups that are going to be attacking him with these ads that are not from John McCain's campaign?
Yeah, I think that's simply not true. I think that it is definitely the case that there are major interests, and not even simply progressive interests like the labor movement, but there are also corporate interests who have an investment in the Democratic Party. They see Obama on the way up, and they want to get on the winning side. So I think there's going to be a lot of money flowing from all kinds of different sectors of the economy in this election, and I really see what's happening right here as Obama trying to sort of increase his gain in terms of financing.
Enjoy these outside groups. Obama's got them too. I think they already put up an ad. MoveOn.org put up an ad. George Soros, the multi-billionaire, financing against McCain, so they won't lack for their I think their 507 groups.
Let's listen to that ad from MoveOn.org. This is an anti John McCain ad that was released this week.
This will be painful.
Hi, John McCain. This is Alex, and he's my first. So far, his talents include trying any new food and chasing after our dog. That and making my heart pound every time I look at him. So, John McCain, when you say you would stay in Iraq for 100 years, were you counting on Alex? Because if you were, you can't have him.
Over 3 million members of MoveOn.org Political Action are responsible for the content of this ad.
All right, Dave Blasko, why were you laughing?
I'm wincing, laughing. I was reaching for the air sickness bag. That actually is the first time I've heard that. So they're apparently not spending enough money. Alex, if that's the little kid there, he'll make his own decision. Mommy won't make his decision. He'll make his decision. He'll be an adult in 100 years. apparently, look. That is in the realm of urban legend that John McCain says we're going to have troops there for 100 years. I mean, that has been so distorted. But that said, we didn't finish the job in Korea, and we're still there. 60 years later?
That's right.
So, and we're still we haven't pulled out all of our troops out of Germany yet, but we're in the process of doing that. So will there be an active shooting war in 100 years there? Probably not. Actually, they have made so much progress that the foreign minister is saying now that he's talked to Obama's people, and Obama has promised him not to undo the success that has been achieved there and with a precipitous withdrawal.
Mm-hmm. Ben?
Yeah, well, the Republicans were right on Korea in the 1950s, and I wish we had listened to them back then. And I think when we look at what John McCain actually has said, he did say flippantly 100 years if that's what it takes. And, I think that does show something about his attitude. That's why people are going after him. But beyond that, he's made very clear that he is for an indefinite occupation of Iraq, as you say, with Korea. Frankly, we do have I don't know if it's 100,000 troops stationed in South Korea right now. We have a serious long-term sort of investment in there, and this is really what the debate is coming to is the United States going to continue down this road of maintaining garrison armies all over the world, in Iraq, in the Middle East, acting not only as the world's policeman, but as the successor to the British Empire? And that's not what this country is supposed to be about. I think John McCain, is very much out of step. As honorable as some folks want to portray him, he's very much out of step with the American tradition of anti-imperialism, and I'm very concerned about what he might do as president. I should also say that I think the Republicans couldn't have possibly picked a weaker candidate. I think that these kinds of remarks show some of the weaknesses on that side of the campaign trail.
We need to take a short pause and welcome callers to our Week in Review at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking about all the political news of the week in this Friday Week in Review. Coming up, we'll talk more about some news from the campaign trail, including Al Gore endorsing Barack Obama this week. We also had a lot of talk about energy, both President Bush and John McCain calling for lifting the ban on offshore oil drilling. We'll talk more about that and whatever else you want to talk about. I'm Joy Cardine with Dave Blaska and Ben Mansky, and this is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up this afternoon, Mary Jo Wagner will be in for Ben Marins, and you can listen to Mary Jo and her guest talk about your views on the news after 4 o'clock. Mary Jo in for Ben Marins because poor Ben Marins this week in a baseball game roared into first base, smashed into the first baseman, and broke his arm. So Ben is recovering from a broken arm this week. We wish him well, and I think we'll hear him on Monday. So this is the Week in Review, talking with Dave Blaska and Ben Mansky. I'm Joy Cardine, welcoming your input during this Friday Week in Review. Let's talk about Al Gore this week. I think it was Monday we heard him say this.
We have such a nominee. We have such a leader. Yes, we can. Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
All right, so Al Gore endorses Barack Obama, but boy, why do you wait until now, do you think, Dave?
Well, you know, there goes Tennessee and Florida. I mean, that's too bad, Barack. I mean, it's every politician has a rough week, and you're having one now.
Why do you say that's a rough week for him?
Well, look, I mean, the man can't carry his home state, Al Gore, and he's not a winner in Florida.
But he's a rock star now. Huh?
You know, but he's like Elvis after he got fat, you know. I mean, that's yeah, I mean, the man produces his own. He's like his own, you know, energy producer. You know, he's like it's the biggest snore in the world. Why did he wait so long? Because he's Al Gore.
All right. Well, do you think it's a big deal or not, Ben Mansky?
Well, I think the news media is sorry that the primaries are over and they're scratching for stories there. It's going to be. It's looking like it might be a long presidential season at this point.
We also saw, though, on that very same day, John McCain came out with another new ad. I won't play that one because I just played an ad. But he. It was an ad saying, I'm the global warming combatter. I'll fight this climate change, and I'll also separate myself from President Bush on these issues. Ben, what's the real story?
Well, one of the other headlines of the week, of course, is McCain reversing himself, speaking of presidential candidate reversals on drilling in Alaska. And I think it's pretty laughable. This is a poll-tested message. You know, Bush Sr. called himself the environmental president. He called himself the education president. And he could call himself whatever he wanted. Green is in right now, that's for sure. I'm certainly excited that there's going to be other candidates in this race as well. It looks like former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney will be winning the Green presidential nod in Chicago next month. But as for McCain, sorry, dude, you can't go after more oil drilling in Alaska, open up new reserves, and call yourself, the green anti-global warming candidate. What we really need, and I think it's become abundantly clear here in the Midwest in the last couple of weeks, is a massive Apollo program to get into renewables, to get into sustainable sources of energy, and to get off of this global warming train wreck that our carbon-based energy system has put us on.
Yeah. I thought that McCain was still opposed to exploring for oil in Anwar, but wanted to lift the moratorium
on offshore drilling.
Yeah. In fact, Dave, what did you think of John McCain wanting to lift that ban on offshore drilling?
Well, you know, go for it. You know, interestingly enough, someone's proposed putting, I guess they'd float them or maybe they'd anchor them, wind turbines in Lake Michigan. And, you know, they tried that off of Martha's Vineyard, and Ted Kennedy, you know, didn't like the view being spoiled. You're going to have that in Milwaukee. We already have that, and I think it's Fond du Lac County. I drove through there. It's a very interesting skyline to see these wind farms and all the yard signs saying, you know, with the international stops sign to stop that. It's a tough sell, and you've got Ed Garvey litigating not only wind farms but ethanol plants. So it's a tough sell to get some of these alternative energy things going here. That said, you know, we should be doing Anwar in Alaska. I mean, you're talking about something like 2,000 acres out of 19 million that would be affected. And yes, it only supplies 5% of our fuel cost or fuel needs, but I don't think there's any magic bullet. I think all these things are going to happen. $4 a gallon gasoline is a big push for alternatives, and that's what's going to make it happen. And even, dare I say it, mass transit. I mean, I've always been a fan of mass transit. What I've said, though, is no one's going to use it if they're afraid of the guy in the back seat there that's going to do something untoward. You have to clean up the public spaces first before people will use mass transit. They're not a rolling gang haven.
Well, certainly there was a story this week that we're not driving our cars as much, or we're commuting more. I mean, it was billions fewer miles driven in our cars because of
intelligent decisions. They make intelligent choices, and they're doing that, and that's fine. And fortunately, I have a very tiny car. It would be a bug print, I think, for a semi truck if they ever. But I enjoy the gas mileage.
But then the dark side of this, and I want to focus on the bright side, but the dark side is that we've known this was coming for years, and it's sort of this question of the grasshopper and the ant. You know, are we preparing for down the road? And, you know, we had all the warning signs on global warming going back decades now, and one of the fundamental problems in our political system has been that the smart choices, the strategic choices for this country have not been made because you have entrenched political interests that are backed by big money, by the petrochemical industry.
Okay.
And that's what we see going on with McCain. And we talked about public financing earlier, but I think this is clearly a nod to the oil industry to get their backing in this election.
All right.
Raising my hand. You know, I keep mentioning the word global warming. If you notice, that's a phrase I haven't used. That's entirely beside the point. That is not even the issue here. The issue here is our economy. Can people of moderate means afford $4 a gallon gasoline? And it hits disproportionately the poorest, who drive disproportionately the least efficient vehicles. It has nothing to do with global warming. It also has to do with everything we manufacture. It has to do with every pound of nitrogen fertilizer that a farmer puts in. Energy will always be a key motivator of our economy. That's why we have to have nuclear energy. I know it's not a one-on-one relationship to petroleum, but we've got to get rid of this silly moratorium on nuclear
power.
McCain
called for more nuclear power in this country, too, yesterday.
Well, I want to take a step back and say, you know, with the exception of the nuke question, which I'll come back to, you know, Dave's absolutely right. And, you know, there's a reason why when we talk about, he's used to being right, to economics and ecology, they both have the same root, which is eco. It means home. And these things are related. We talk about global warming. That's an economic issue. We've seen the economic impacts of climate change here in Wisconsin and the Midwest in the last week. I know we're going to talk about this issue more with the floods, but these things are linked and inextricably. And then in terms of nukes, let's take a critical look at every energy source and say, can this provide what we need? Can we reduce our need? Can we reduce our consumption? And in terms of nukes, we still haven't dealt with the fundamental issue there, which is they don't have any answer as to where to put the waste and how to contain it for generations, for 500 years, for 1,000 years, for 2,000 years. They have no way to deal with the issue of nuclear waste storage.
I'm going to switch topics right now, and I'm going to let Keith Olbermann from MSNBC the other day set this one up for us.
Our number one story in the countdown, it's McCain versus Obama. Cindy McCain attacking Michelle Obama. the non-issue happily resurrected by The View co-host yesterday, what Michelle Obama meant when she said, 4 months ago, quote, for the first time in my adult life, I am really proud of my country. Mrs. Obama explained that, of course, she was always proud of her country and that she had simply been referring to the political process. And Mrs. Obama expressed gratitude towards the First Lady, Laura Bush. When the faux controversy had first erupted, Mrs. Bush had said that Michelle Obama had meant to say, I'm more proud, and that candidate spouses have to be careful since their words can be easily misconstrued. But from Cindy McCain today on Good Morning America.
I don't know where... why she said that. I, you know, everyone has their own experience. I don't know why she said what she said. All I know is that I've always been proud of my country.
So there we go. The feud continues. Eric in Oshkosh wants to talk about this. Go ahead, Eric. You're on the air.
Yes. My question is, on Wednesday, Cindy McCain came forth and she made her comments on Michelle Obama. And then on Thursday, which was yesterday, she quick turned around and said, oh, family's off limits, after she made a public appearance talking about family. I'm wondering how this is being seen by the media after not the media doesn't cover the fact that she herself, while addicted to painkillers, took money from a international charity she was in charge of, took pills from international charity she was in charge of to help others.
Well, that certainly came out, Eric, during McCain's past presidential election. A lot of people wonder why she, you know, that she's sensitive to those issues. Anyway, what do you make of all the coverage and the back and forth between who's more patriotic here?
You know, I beyond that, I mean, we're all, you know, patriotic. I it is funny to me that Barack won't wear the flag pin. I think he's going to start now. I don't know why he doesn't do that. Simply, why give people the fodder?
No, let's talk about the wives, though.
That's yeah, I know. And I'm sorry for that. But what I... You know, I feel sorry for John Kerry because people just didn't seem to warm up to his wife. So the wives do matter for some reason. And, I mean, you know, Laura Bush is liked. Interestingly enough, I don't think that Mrs. Reagan was as liked when he was president as she is now. So it does matter if you have to at least like the first lady or the first spouse. And as to who's more patriotic or not, I think people have... small tolerance for that kind of thing,
right? And it was a joke in a way.
But even this caller bringing up the pills business, I think that's pretty bad too. Unless you've got a problem, I see that Ted Kennedy's ex-wife Joan is still battling alcohol. That would be a problem. I mean, that would be a problem in the White House. That would be a terrible problem. And so those kinds of things are somewhat germane. That would be a problem.
Well, what do you make of this, Ben Mansky?
I do think that this points to the news, you know, sort of the news fishing around for coverage, and whenever things seem to get slower, then they turn to the presidential spouses. And you know, I think overall, I'm a little troubled by where this thing is going. Not only in terms of the I won't call it a back and forth, but at least the sallying forth from Cindy McCain. I really think that we need to get the presidential spouses out of the campaign news. And you know, I think we also need to recognize that there's something troubling going on in terms of the way Michelle Obama is being sort of discussed and portrayed. It's been a problem for a long time that the presidential wives sort of are expected to bake cookies, you know, and to sort of play to the softer side and to not have a policy role. But at the same time, they're brought out in public and they're forced to have a public role. And then now what we see happening with Michelle Obama is beyond that, you know, pretty flagrant sexism that I agree Nancy Reagan had to deal with some of that, and certainly Hillary Clinton did in the 1990s. Now you see Michelle Obama being portrayed as an angry black woman, and you have the attempt to bring racial bias into the campaign trail here. And the final thing I just want to say, I'll give you a word here in a sec, Dave, is that that I'll never forgive Cindy McCain for plagiarizing that baking recipe. you know, it's just, I mean, I'll never vote for her husband.
But just why spouses are somewhat important is that they are seen as a window into the candidate, who the candidate associates with. That's why the Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago was an issue. Who do you associate with? Who are your friends? Who do you listen to? There's always going to be a little bit of pillow talk, and usually your spouse is is somewhat sympathetic to your and has a window to your political soul.
Well, from that standpoint, then Michelle Obama is a positive reflection on her husband.
Well, and I would say no different.
You know, Dave, you brought up the flag pin issue. I did see that Barack Obama has come out with his first general election ad that he plans to run in a lot of the swing states and also some states that were considered red states, and he's wearing his flag pin, and it's a biographical ad that talks about his upbringing and how much he loves this country. So, he needs to do that because Republicans keep going after him over that flag pin and whether he's patriotic.
Well, and not just that though either. If that was it, it goes to people being bitter and clinging to God and guns and not liking people that are different than in this, arugula thing. It's an interesting thing. I think we've made tremendous progress, by the way, where a black American can be seen as an elitist. I think that is a tremendous thing.
Ben, any comment on the new Obama ad?
I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. We will move on to some other issues. Linda in Monroe has been waiting with her issue of the week. Hi, Linda, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Morning.
Last night I was watching PBS, and it said two hedge fund dealers from Bear Stearns were arrested along with almost 400 others. Now, I understand that Senator Obama wants to tax the hedge fund dealers, and what's happening in our commodities, particularly the oil prices and housing as well. Now, the fact that there's virtually no regulations on hedge funds, we don't know anything about their accounting, and I read a book that says the economy is 10 times worse because of the leveraging. Issues like the futures market where they put up a dollar and borrow up to $30. Now, the country is relying way too much on credit and virtually no regulation.
Yeah, we're getting... should we be regulating these hedge fund operators more, Ben Mansky?
Well, certainly, and we should stop bailing them out at the same time. And what the federal government does is for the big operators that have... created this bubble economy and really made billions off of it, there's always a fallback for them. There's always a golden parachute for them. But then I look also at the flooding here in Wisconsin, Fed say, sorry, there's no money for you guys to rebuild. There's no money for recovery.
They haven't said that.
Well, they have said that. In Gaze Mills, they're saying, we'll give you some loans, but we're not going to come in and bail you out. And, I think that shows where the priorities have been. And really, we need to rebuild the economy from the bottom up and prioritize small-town America and stop bailing out, the profiteers.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I would point out that whose Justice Department is hauling these people away? I mean, it's the Bush administration has been pretty good about that. We've got the Budget Committee Chairman of the United States Senate, Ken Conrad, and the Banking Committee Chairman, Chris Dodd, who ran for president, the Senate Banking Committee Chairman, getting these sweetheart deals from Angelo Mozzillo, the former, when he was still the president of Countrywide Financial. Joy, I've got to confess, I can't keep up with all these little schemes. There's something called, this is what they got, it's a payment option arm or a negative amortization loan. You actually pay less than the interest owed each month.
Mm.
How that works, I don't know, and how that could work. I guess they're continuing, they're hoping that the housing prices would keep on, it's like a tremendous Ponzi scheme here.
Yeah.
So Senator Dodd crafts a bill to provide $300 billion in new taxpayer loan guarantees to Countrywide. I'm entirely opposed to bailing any of these people out. And anyone who takes a loan like that, there's a little bit of Darwinism here. You've got to have your hands spanked if you're going to do that kind of thing.
Let's talk a little bit, Ben. You just brought up the floods. President Bush and John McCain visited Iowa yesterday to assess the damage and to, I guess, console all the flood victims. Well, how do you think the federal response has been so far to this disaster?
Well, I think there's a question of the response, and it does seem a little bit late for them to notice that the American Midwest is, large parts of it are underwater. But then there's also the question of prevention, and that's really what I think we should take away from this experience so far. I mean, I've been impressed by the way people here in Wisconsin have responded to the emergency, and really I think they've done a much better job with crisis management than we've seen in recent years in other parts of the country. But at the same time, we need to have a forward-looking plan. There needs to be a plan that involves mitigation. And, I know that in Gaze Mills, which is one of my favorite towns, they're looking at relocating. And that's very sad to me. But I think it's probably necessary. And we also need to look at the way in which we do agriculture. There's been we've known for a long time and industrial agriculture is more susceptible to problems of flooding. And then, of course, there's also the issue of CO2 emissions and global warming and climate change. And the Bush administration itself came out yesterday with a report saying that that we're going to see more and more of these 500-year floods in the coming years. You know, it's every couple of years.
Every 5 years or so.
Or, and even less. I mean, Gaismills got hit just a couple of years ago. You know, Viola, you know, had that tornado 2 years ago. And now they got the flooding, and this is happening more and more. And there's really deep human and economic costs that are coming from climate change. So, you know, if you want to prevent the flooding and really do something to make a difference, then we really need to get onto renewable energies and off of CO2.
Yep. Dave?
Well, again, I don't believe that this is at all due to climate change. I mean, you have the Grand
Apparently
Canyon.
Apparently the Bush administration does.
The Grand Canyon was carved by rushing water. So I don't believe it. I don't. I think, you know, we've had floods, major floods in this state in the 30s, throughout the Mississippi River, and it's with all the levees and whatnot. I mean, they're constructed to hold back water, and every now and then the water does not want to be held back.
Right, but so the point is that it's not happening in the 30s and the 50s and the 70s anymore. It's not every generation. It's happening every couple of years. And this is becoming a more and more infrequent occurrence. So
well,
I think
we'll
need to wake up, and we need to take it more seriously.
I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wake up.
No, the listeners can't see it, but Dave's got a big jug of coffee here, and he's sharing.
Well, this thing, though, is not only put the half of Wisconsin underwater, but all of Iowa practically, and it's moving down the Mississippi right now, and there's a lot of concern what this is going to mean, not only obviously to the people who had their homes and livelihoods taken away from them, but agricultural crops, food prices are going to be drastically affected.
Well, and it's also washing away a lot of, you know, pesticides and fertilizers. Mm-hmm. Apparently it's a dead zone already in the Gulf of Mexico, which is unfortunate. So yes, that has that kind of cost. That's ethanol too for you. We are now plowing under some of that conservation acreage that would have held that back. So I'm also, you know, we need to have more conservation acreage. I'll give you that.
Let me bring in a caller before we move on to some other issues. Don in Galesville. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Very interesting program. It is every year, every morning, but this is particularly interests me.
Glad you like it.
That's because of me.
We are, you know, it reminds me of, you know, we spread ourselves so far around the world, and, you know, we really can't afford it anymore. And this lady over, I lived on the western part of Wisconsin where we've had the Winona Bridge have be shut down. We've had all the flooding south and west of us, and St. Paul had their bridge, and now they say the infrastructure all over the country is falling apart. And this woman over in one of these flooded towns at one of these FEMA meetings, she got up and she said, if we can rebuild infrastructure all over the world in all these other countries, why can't we do it with our own country?
Yeah, and I'm going to cut you short, Don, because we're going past our break. I mean, our infrastructure is being affected by this, too. The big trucks are on I-94 in between Madison and Milwaukee to make sure it doesn't float away.
Well, you know, I think that's why our transportation fund and whatnot is somewhat sacred, and we ought to be investing in bridges and highways, and also, where it makes some sense, mass transit. And we haven't been doing that, and that's why I've been every dollar spent to bankroll someone's campaign, to me, that's a dollar poorly spent.
Ben?
Yeah, every dollar spent on the campaigns and every dollar that's spent in Iraq, you know, the cost of that are estimated now to exceed $2 trillion over the years. And that's really, you know, that's a reason why we do need to bring the guard home, bring the troops home, you know, end this policy of occupation. It hasn't done any good for this country.
Well.
And then in terms of investing, you know, I think it is true that we haven't, you know, put the money into infrastructure, but we have to recognize that it's also the money that has been put in has not been put in equitably. There are some parts of the country, frankly, where the wealthy live, they have great services, and then there are certain parts of this country that are as underdeveloped as any other place I've been.
And I heard yesterday afternoon they opened up I-94 between Madison and Milwaukee, at least two-way traffic. So you don't have to take a 100-mile detour.
Understanding, you know, I had the great opportunity to work at the Emergency Operations Center, 12-hour shifts two or three of them in the last 6 days. We were hearing that the backup on the interstate is something like 2.5 miles. So we are one lane. And so yeah. I'm going to the Brewers game tonight, and I'm going to plan accordingly.
Yeah. Well, everybody plan accordingly. We are talking with Dave Blaska and Ben Mansky during this Friday Week in Review. Dave Blaska is Smith's blogger. His blog is called Blaska's Blog. He's a former Dane County supervisor. Ben Mansky, executive director of Liberty Tree, the national pro-democracy advocacy group. He's also a blogger for Isthmus, and his blog is called The Plansky. The number that you can use to join in is 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. We're going to talk some after the break about the loss of Meet the Press moderator Tim Russert. His memorial service and funeral was held this week. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Well, my dad was a force of nature, and now his own cycle and nature is complete. But his spirit lives on, and everybody who loves their country, loves their family, loves their faith, and loves those Buffalo Bills. I love you, Dad, and in his words, let us all go get him.
Well, that was Luke Russert, the son of the late Tim Russert, memorializing his dad on Wednesday. I don't know, gentlemen, any thoughts or any concerns that there's not anybody out there that is going to go get him when it comes to keeping our political figures' feet to the fire, Ben Mansky?
Well, honestly, I love journalists. My wife is a journalist, and I have great respect for the industry. But I also think that the way this has been covered shows that the commentariat is pretty out of touch with what are the real basic concerns for most people. I mean, the amount of coverage that this funeral has gotten to me is just out of proportion to the real issues that we're facing today. And I'm sorry, I feel for his family, but this guy was not a Martin Luther King or a John F. Kennedy, and it's time to move on from the story.
Mm-hmm. Dave?
Well, I sort of agree, but the one thing about him, I mean, I didn't see him all that often either, but when he came on the TV, I would smile because he was smiling. I kind of liked that. Mm-hmm. He was avuncular, and we seem to like avuncular. And also, just in one other thing, too. You know, here Ben and I sit. We're bloggers, and you know the list of bloggers. I mean, I think there's a few people out there that still don't have a blog, and I want to reach out to them right now.
That's right. Get a hold of us.
We'll set you up. But here's the guy who. So here's the guy who. And we're losing these kind of people who I think could reach across, and it's because we've become atomized, I think, as in our national discourse.
Yeah. Well, here's an issue that just happened yesterday. A much-delayed Iraq war funding bill is out of the House and on its way to the Senate, where it's expected to win approval next week. The bill would expand the GI Bill, extend unemployment benefits, and provide Midwest flood relief. So it would also, though, not have a timetable for withdrawing troops from Iraq. Are you okay with this, Ben Mansky?
Absolutely not. I think this is garbage politics. This Congress was elected to get America out of Iraq, and they haven't done it. They have the ability to do it. I was glad to see that four of our congressional representatives out of Wisconsin voted against this thing, despite all the riders and add-ons they used to try to portray it as anything other than what it was, which was Congress giving Bush the money to continue the war in Iraq. They can put the GI and the GI spending and the road spending before Bush and dare him to veto it, and that can be a campaign issue if they want to do that. But what we need to see Congress doing is stepping up, taking responsibility, and exercising their war-declaring powers and their war powers overall to determine the course of U.S. foreign policy.
Well, Ben is right. This Congress could stop this war if it wanted to, and it doesn't want to. It's simple as that.
Okay, it's as simple as that. What about California this week? The first week of legalized gay marriage in the state of California. Big deal or not, Dave Blaska?
Well, I think I've said before, you could press a button and have it recording. I hate this issue. I hate this issue. I hate this issue. That said, now I'm wondering what's the next shoe. This may seem a little mean-spirited, but really as an intellectual exercise, ask yourself this question. And Ben, you can answer this question. Why do we continue to criminalize polygamy? We just had this thing in Texas, right? Or was it Texas, where they took out these children, ripped them out of that home. I think the court said take those children back to their mothers. But what? And every one of these mothers or wives was of age. Now, that's the next question, of course. But if you're of a certain age.
Now, I think that's the basic question at stake there.
No, but what?
Let's talk about California.
The question is, what's next? I mean, I don't like the fact that California is doing that. To be honest about it, I'm a traditionalist on that issue, and I'm not ashamed of it. But I think it's a legitimate question to say, then why not polygamy? We made Utah, we made a church renounce a tenet of its in order to admit Utah into the union.
All right. Well, do you think this is going to have anything to do with the rest of the country, Ben Mansky, what's happening in California?
Well, I think the good news for Dave is that he doesn't like this issue, and this issue is pretty much over. I think it's going to be like segregation.
No.
It might take 10 or 20 years before all the laws that are on the books have been changed. But I think that, frankly, equal marriage rights are here to stay, and it's just going to spread across the country from here on out. Frankly, my generation doesn't understand why this is an issue. And as sort of some of the older folks out there pass on, this is going to be a dead issue, no pun intended there.
And by the way, Ben gestured toward me when he said some of the older generation. But
no. You're not that old.
Let me we are going to move on to a couple of state issues. The big state issue this week, of course, the flooding, but we've already really talked about that. So let's talk about let's talk about prayer in the state assembly.
What God is it that I petition this day? The God of the Bible. The God who gave Moses the Ten Commandments, which are the very basis of our law.
So Freedom From Religion Foundation doesn't think that the state assembly, our state government, should be doing these prayers to a Christian God all the time. Should there be more of a separation of church and state, Ben Mansky?
Well, I understand that they've petitioned Mike Kipsch to change the policy here, and I hope he does the right thing, and I'm glad to see that he's saying he'll take a look at it. I think, frankly, saying these sectarian prayers hurts America, and it hurts religion both. And I'll just say from my own experience, my family, we moved to Wisconsin in 82 from Jerusalem, from Israel. And, I look at the experience there where you have these rabbinical councils that have the force of law behind them, and then I also look at Israeli society, which is supposedly a Jewish state, but it's an atheist Jewish state. Most Israeli Jews are not practicing. They do not believe in God. And I think the worst thing that can happen to religion is to have the state get behind a particular sort of point of view, or even religion in general. This is really something that should be left to people and their communities and their families and their conscience. And I think the assembly should do the right thing and say, we are going to honor the Constitution and also honor people's personal faith.
Mm-hmm. Dave?
Well, if the question is what now? I want you to repeat the question.
Should the state assembly change policy and not be That's issuing
here,
prayers?
Joy, here on Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm going to say I pray to God no.
Why?
Because I like to pray. And I'll pray. I'll do it here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Isn't public financing great?
Isn't it great? No one is forcing any of those members to indulge in that prayer. It's a freedom that they have. They are able to do so before they get down to business.
Well, why
before
don't
they have a meal?
Shouldn't they? Then if they can pray in their office before they go conduct business.
Why can't they do it in the chamber itself? There's no coercion involved.
As somebody who comes from a religious minority, I run into people all the time in Wisconsin who claim they've never met a Jew before.
Yeah.
They never met a Jew. And I know that's not true, because there's Jews all over the state. We have two Jewish senators. Most folks aren't even aware of that. If you're from a community that feels safe, then that's one thing. But But the reality is that that there are many people who do not feel safe in this state and around the country, and that is because the climate is not hospitable.
But Herb Kohl and Russ Feingold feel safe. Apparently, they were elected. I mean, I think it says something good about Wisconsinites.
But when you have state sponsored
place.
When you have state sponsored prayer,
not state sponsored
you're gonna,
prayer.
Well, that's it's what
not,
we're doing.
It's not state sponsored prayer at all. They're not sponsoring anything. It's not costing us anything. But it's the freedom that we have. And if I want to finger the rosary as I walk through the rotunda, I may do so.
I thought, Dave Blaska, that you might have some thoughts on the story I saw from Kathleen Falk. Dane County's executive yesterday was saying, you know what, the state legislature has failed to act to protect public health. It has not passed a statewide smoking ban. So therefore, Dane County is going to, or should, ban smoking countywide, and all of the unincorporated burgs in Dane County would have to ban smoking in their public establishment. She couldn't tell villages or other cities in Dane County, but she could apparently stop smoking in unincorporated burgs.
Right, in the townships, in the towns, actually. A township is a geographic entity and a town is a political entity. Well, I'm a former smoker. Unlike a certain former president, I did inhale, and you name it, I inhaled it. I'm borrowed time here myself. I think smoking is terrible, but I this is the nanny state here. People make reasonable decisions; they really do, and I prefer that this is probably going to pass. Certainly, that county board does what Kathleen wants them to do, and as long as it's not about law enforcement, she's very interested and engaged in these kind of issues.
You think that it will pass?
Yeah, it'll pass. Given the makeup of the county board, she still owns it.
Mm-hmm. Well, should it pass, Ben Mansky?
I think it should pass. Although I also think that we need to look at some of the local control issues, and that there is that tension on this issue. I'll give folks that, but I think it's certainly in the public interest. I think it's in the interest of working people, and I think it's also. In my personal interest, I was out in Middleton, which is not an unincorporated township, the other night to catch the Blue Heels. Which if people haven't heard them yet, check them out. I'll put a shout out to Wisconsin's greatest rock band. I had to leave halfway through the show because I just could not stay there. I was, I was just not able to breathe the air. And it's just a reality that there's more and more young people in particular who are suffering from asthma and other kinds of effects from smoking and from other carcinogens in the air. And this is a public health issue.
No, we're out of time, so we'll have to leave it there. You know, I want to also leave my sympathies, my condolences to everybody in Wisconsin who's experiencing the flood damage. I was going to, when I was on vacation last week, I had mentioned that I was going to be going to the Gays Mills area or the Kickapoo Valley area, and was looking forward to seeing that area really in depth for the first time. And my plans were changed because of the flooding, and not nearly the way people who live there, their plans have changed. I promise to visit another time. Thanks very much to both of you for being with us. Ben Mansky and Dave Blaska. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.